You're listening to Stories That Matter, a Hawkwood podcast. In this episode, we hear from Chris Taylor discussing his seven mantras of the new revolution.
So for about the last 5 or 6 years, I've been immersing myself in the kind of the global movement for change. Starting actually with Occupy, I was connected to some of the Occupy movements in the States and also in London, Occupy the London Stock Exchange. And then from that, international movements for solidarity and increasingly environmental movements for change. And I kept a very close eye on some of the indigenous struggles as well, particularly in the States. I'm half American, so kind of what goes on in the States is very meaningful for me. And I started to notice kind of trends emerging in those movements. And I think it's important that at this point in time that we feel, that we physically feel that we're part of a movement for change. Because things can, if you follow the mainstream media and you watch the news, you can feel like everything is going in the wrong direction, like things are slipping backwards. And in one sense that's true, and in another sense there's also this massive groundswell of people who want to build the more beautiful world and who are part of a movement. But we don't always feel part of a movement. And I think in order to build change, we need to feel like we're not alone in this, like other people are in it with us across the world. So I was just watching the movements that were going on, Occupy, Standing Rock in America, Black Lives Matter, the climate change movement, and just noticing that the same themes were coming up, even if it was a single issue thing, so a climate change thing, or Me Too, or Black Lives Matter. That across those single issues, the same themes were coming up about being motivated by love and using non-violent approaches and trying to engage with the people who are seen as your adversaries, trying to kind of understand what made them tick and why they were the way they were. So I started to pull those kind of themes together, and I came up with seven, which I called seven mantras. Because it felt like if you repeated them often enough, that they would kind of lull us collectively into a meditative state of revolution. I called them seven mantras for the new revolution. There are a couple that I would pick out, I think, and there's a story behind each of the seven, really. I love the one that talks about we are the ones we've been waiting for, which is a saying that's attributed to a Hopi Native American elder who isn't named. Nobody knows his or her name. But it talks about, it gives that sense of that there is no, we're not waiting for a hero here, and we're not waiting for somebody else. This is something that we can do ourselves, and the time is now. You know, the time is to do it now. We're not waiting for a better time either. It's here and it's now and it's us. And that's all that's needed. You know, we don't need anything more than that. We just need to know that it's us. And to lean into that with grace and with ease, and know that that will be enough to get us through. It links to another, which is the times are urgent, we must slow down, which is attributed to African elders. And it's kind of, I love the counterintuitive nature of it, because we feel that problems like climate change are so urgent that they require an urgent response. I just love the sense that actually sometimes when things are urgent, the best thing you can do is just to add a sense of calm and a sense of peace by not panicking, by not adding to the chaos. And I think that's really important, because actually part of what has got us into such a difficult, challenging situation with the destruction of the environment is the pace of life, the speed at which we operate, and the speed at which we try to do things. It makes us act without thinking through the consequences. And I think it's really important as a movement for positive change that we try and operate in a different way. We try and operate with more calm, with more consideration, even when things are urgent. And there's a wonderful saying from the Dalai Lama, which is that we should meditate for 20 minutes every day, unless we're really, really busy, in which case it's an hour. And I just love that sense that that when things feel, you know, desperate, the best thing to do is just stop. It's one of the things about the times that we live in that it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It's easy to feel that the challenges facing the world are huge. It's difficult to find where we as one individual can impact. So that sense of overwhelm is very easy. And the other way to think about it is that what that shows actually is that we're becoming more and more conscious about how things operate at the global level. And that is a very positive thing. It is a force that can unify humanity to realise that we are, everything about our life now operates at a global level. The food we eat, the things we buy, our media, where we get information from, is all operating at a global level. And that's a very, very good foundation for building a more beautiful world. It connects us all in a way that we've never been connected before. But it can leave us with this sense of overwhelm. And the thing that made a difference for me about that, somebody introduced me to the work of Paul Hawken, who wrote a book called Blessed Unrest. And Paul Hawken has spent several years documenting the organisations and groups around the world that are working for change. And in the end, he found over 2 million organisations across the world that are working for a more positive future. And just to know, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, there are millions upon millions of other people around the world feeling the same way you feel, wanting to find a place for themselves in the movement for change, and actually starting things and doing things. And that just made an incredible difference to me, just to realise that. So that sense of connection for me is the answer to overwhelm. Find your tribe, find the people who care about the same things that you do, and just do whatever feels right. Start where you are and follow it wherever it leads. I think the most important thing, or the most meaningful thing for me about who I am at this point in my life, is that I want to encourage people to dream a little about what kind of world we can create. And I feel like that's my mission, is to work with people to think about what is the world we want to create, how can it be different from this, how can it be a world that more accurately reflects the most beautiful parts of kind of the human spirit, and to believe that that's actually possible. That's not just a pipe dream, that's something that we can have if we work together, if we imagine it strongly enough, and then we work together to achieve it. There's a slight dilemma for me in articulating what the more beautiful world could be, that it's not for any one person to kind of to say what that is. It's a co-creative process. So it's a collective process of imagining that and then putting it into place. So I've done quite a lot of workshops with people to do that. And some themes have started to emerge. One is peace, particularly when I work with refugees and people internationally. A peaceful society and a society with the rule of law is a bedrock, which I think we in the West can sometimes take for granted. A sense of community is incredibly strong for people. Just that sense that, again, working with people, young people in inner cities, that they don't know their neighbours. They feel sometimes that it's a hostile environment. Finding forms of community where we can live together, feel at home, feel safe, feel like we're building something meaningful with our neighbours and people around us. So peace, community, justice. So that sense of fairness, inclusion, valuing everybody, valuing diversity. So it'd certainly be a world without borders, with a lot more free movement for people. So those things are all, for me, part of the future. If I could change one thing, it would be very simple: to encourage people to spend more time in nature and to listen to nature, to listen to the land, listen to the trees, listen to the birds, listen to what the land or the river is telling you. Because whatever you hear in those moments is the right thing for you to do for your own health and well-being, and by implication, it's the right thing for humanity. Listen to what the world is telling you.
Thanks for listening to Stories That Matter, a Hawkwood podcast. To find out more about Chris Taylor and his upcoming course at Hawkwood, visit our websites or follow us on Twitter. All of the information can be found in the show notes just below this episode. This episode was produced by Laura Bing, with music by Daisy and her Cora, playing an original composition, Bertha.